In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Today on Word for Life, we will open the Word of God and examine the multiple times Satan attempted to destroy Jesus Christ. Well, good morning. This is Dr. Richard Schmidt and founder of Prophecy Focus Ministries. And it's great once again to be able to spend a few minutes with you this morning, hopefully to encourage you and to motivate you to walk with God today and throughout the rest of this week. Well, folks, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. This involves things from a scriptural standpoint, from the past, the present, and the prophetic. And one reason, ladies and gentlemen, young people, teenagers, whoever's listening to me this morning, there has been a constant spiritual battle that has been taking place literally since just past the time of creation. We've looked at how Lucifer, one of the perfect angelic beings, was created perfect. Yet Lucifer rebelled against God because Lucifer, at least from his perspective, lost the position as the chief person to have dominion over the entire creation of God when Adam and Eve were subsequently given that dominion by God himself. Lucifer then horrifically rebels against God, goes against him, and starts this eternal warfare against God and God's people. Well, this morning we're going to look at some of the things that Satan literally did to try and stop God's program and to stop Jesus Christ and to literally stop the flow of the Bible. Remember, Satan hates God. Satan is doing everything possible, even though, according to the scriptures, he's going to fail, but that doesn't matter to him. He is still fighting God and still trying to stop God's program. So I'm going to give you about five, maybe six different things this morning based on our time that Satan literally has done and will be doing to stop God's plan. I want to take you all the way back to a time when the book of Esther was written, which was about 450 BC or so, round numbers. And I want to take you to a place where an individual named Haman was a very strong ruler. Have you ever heard about the Feast of Purim? Many of you know about that. And it's basically a time that commemorates when all of the Jewish people were put up to be killed. Did you hear me, folks? All of the Jewish people were being scheduled, were being looked at, and in a kingdom to be literally annihilated, to be wiped out. Now, let me explain what would have happened if that would have been successful. And we'll go through the story in just a minute. If indeed the Jewish people had been wiped out in 500 BC, what would have that done to the prophetic scriptures regarding the Messiah who was to yet come? Folks, it would have completely stopped God's program. It would have made the Bible a book of fairy tales instead of a book of truth. Folks, let me remind you that in the scriptures, there's approximately 1,000 prophecies. One-third of your Bible was prophecy when written. Folks, if one single prophecy doesn't come true, that basically negates who God is. It negates his word. But folks, out of those 1,000 prophecies, 500 have come to pass. They've been fulfilled exactly as written. That means there's another 500 to come. And folks, being in the prophecy ministry, Prophecy Focus Ministries, it's just amazing what God is setting the stage to do in the prophetic future. But let me take you to the past, approximately 450 BC. And the Jews were in the kingdom of under an individual named King Xerxes, or better known in most of your Bibles as King Ahasuerus. Now, here's what happens. The Jewish people are in this kingdom, all the Jewish people. And there's an individual named Haman who basically came to hate the Jewish people. And here's the reason why. Haman was an extremely proud individual. And he was really upset with these Jewish people, specifically because one individual, a guy named Mordecai, a Jew, would not bow down and basically treat Haman like a super important person. Esther chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, 'There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain.'" What is this Haman saying? He's like, "I hate these Jewish people. They don't do what we do. I don't like them. King, you need to get rid of these people." So we go down to verse 13 in Esther 3. And the king agreed with Haman and said, "All right, I guess that's right. I guess we don't need these people. So I guess let's get rid of them." And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day on the 13th day of the 12th month. So the king says, "All right, I'll buy into what Haman's saying. Let's destroy the Jewish people." Now, folks, why did God put this in the scriptures? This is another one of Satan's attempts to destroy the Jewish people to stop the Messiah from being born as prophesied in the prophetic scriptures. Well, let's see what the Jewish people did. They get news that they're going to be destroyed in Esther chapter 4, verse 3. And it says, "In every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing." The Jewish people realized they were about to be annihilated. They were about to be wiped off the face of the earth. Folks, I want to stop here for a minute and get practical for a moment. Do you realize what condition the church is in the world, and specifically now in America itself? Do you realize what is taking place in the governmental structure right now? Are you aware of what's taking place in the legislature? Are you aware of the rules and the orders and the executive orders that are being put out that could dramatically impact the way Christians are allowed to act, to meet, and to basically function? Folks, the Word of God is exclusive. There are things in the Word of God that are very specific regarding how we are to live from an ethical and moral standpoint. And folks, what we're watching in the government right now, what we're seeing across the world right now, is an anti-God, anti-Christian rhetoric that is actually starting to be put into various little laws that have been becoming more and more oppressive to the Christian community. What did the Jewish people do back in 450 BC when they were facing not just severe persecution, not just having their voices be silenced, but to literally kill them? Here's what they did. Esther chapter 4, verse 3. "There was great mourning among the Jews, fasting, weeping, and wailing." May I suggest, folks, that if you realize what's taking place, if you see the trend that's taking place, may you go to your pastors and Christian leaders. May we, like a mighty army, get on our face before God. Might we do what the Jewish people did 2,500 years ago when they fell on their face and they begged God to preserve them through the horrific tortures that were headed their way, including annihilation. Well, let's see what happened in this particular scenario. Well, we go to Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. And Mordecai, this honorable Jewish individual, talks to Esther and says, "Listen, Esther, you're the queen. You're a Jewess. You have the ability to go to the king and beg for the life of the Jewish people. Would you do it?" And he comes up with this one line that we've used in so many of our messages. We constantly recite it. Mordecai says, "Listen, Esther, you need to go to the king and beg it for the lives of the Jewish people." And here's what he says, Esther chapter 4, verse 14, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Folks, for such a time as this, what an important line. What a challenging line. We are here for such a time as this. God's people are here. If you're a Christian, if you've trusted Christ, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God has called you to be active, to stay strong, to fight the battle, if you will, against Satan, against all the horrific things taking place across the world and across our country for such a time as this. Would we, like the Jewish people, fall on our faces and ask God to preserve us? Would we, like the Jewish people, fall on our faces and say, Lord, would you please give us grace in the sight of the government? Would you please stop all these legislative things from happening that are weakening the Christian people and slandering your precious name? Well, Esther then realizes she needs to do something. She takes up the sword, if you will, and realizes that she was called for such a time as this. She invites Haman and the king to a banquet. She feeds them and basically lifts their spirits for 2 days. And then finally, we come to the important spot, Esther chapter 6, verse 1. And that night, it says the king could not sleep. Folks, I believe it was God who allowed him to be in a state of agitation. He couldn't sleep, so he orders the record of the Chronicles. In other words, he asked for the books from the government, wanted to read some of the things that had taken place. And he opens up to a place in Esther chapter 6, verse 2, in the Chronicles of his kingdom, and it was found written that Mordecai, that's that Jewish individual that was not friends with Haman, had told of two individuals, two eunuchs, that rebelled against the king. And guess who saved the king's life? Well, folks, it was the good Jewish man Mordecai. And the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And all of a sudden, the king says, I want to honor Mordecai. Well, Haman comes in, and Haman thinks that the king wants to do something great for himself, being Haman, and yet the king wanted to honor Mordecai. So he says, listen, I want you to honor this very special person. I want you to give him a royal robe. I want you to get him a horse and place him on it and ride him through the city and proclaim him as a wonderful person. And Haman says, oh, that's got to be me, of course. And he said, no, this is for Mordecai, and that's exactly what happened. Well, folks, the end of Esther, it tells us that Haman ends up getting hung on the gallows that Haman had built for Mordecai. God preserved his people. Very quickly, do you remember when Jesus was born and he was a young child, Herod went out to destroy all the children 2 years old and younger to try and keep Jesus from growing up. That was a satanic attack. Do you remember the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness? That was a satanic attack. Do you remember back when Peter was sitting in Caesarea Philippi with the other disciples and Jesus said, listen, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say a prophet, some say Elijah, some say other individuals that are great importance, if you will, from a religious perspective. And then Jesus Christ says this, he says, but disciples, men, who do you say that I am? And Peter makes this wonderful profession of his faith in Christ, and he says, listen, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. A few seconds later, Jesus Christ makes this statement. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests, and be killed and be raised the third day. What does Peter do? Peter, just after he made this wonderful profession, goes up to Jesus and says this. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Folks, Satan has been doing everything he can, past, present, and prophetic or future, to try and stop God's plan. Folks, have you ever given your life to Jesus Christ? If you haven't, would you do that today? Well, folks, thank you for listening. God bless you. Have a good and godly day.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.